Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Michael Larson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. Good morning, Pastor Larson.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me on your show today. It's a privilege to be with you.
It's good to have you with us today. Tell us about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin.
Well, St. Paul is a congregation of roughly 500 souls in the heart of north central Wisconsin. There's a nice little story about the founding of our town. It was founded, at the time it was Frontierland in the 1880s, and a man named Reverend Hommy, a graduate of Concordia Seminary in Springfield at the time, came here to Wittenberg, and there's this wonderful quote where he says, here and no further, just as Wittenberg is a bright shining star of the gospel in Germany, so shall this place become a bright shining star of the gospel in northern Wisconsin. And I just love that. And for us, it certainly is. We're still inspired by the great Reformation truths that we are saved by faith alone. And so we gather around the risen Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the divine service. We depart in peace with God. We go back to our homes and places of work, encouraged by His Holy Spirit to find new ways to love and care for one another as He has cared for us. So I would invite all visitors to come by. If they like, I know a lot of folks have cabins in northern Wisconsin, so right on Highway 45, so do consider us in your travel.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there delivering God's good gifts and gathering around His good gifts in the divine service. We are studying John chapter 5 today, verses 30 through 47. Anything you would like for us to know about the text before we dig in?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to get to the heart of John's goal in his gospel altogether. And I think it's in setting four of the hymnal where we sing together, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the discourse that we're looking at today, it's really the second half of a discourse of Jesus where he is talking about the testimony that bears witness to his identity as the very Son of God. And John's gospel is very different from the others. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke, what we call the synoptics, meaning that roughly if you put them side by side, you see a general correspondence between them in terms of the timeline and the narrative. John is altogether different. You could consider John as something of a lawyer, where he's presenting the key pieces of evidence that fit together in a sort of trial, all to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. So, you know, in the other Gospels, they speak of themselves in, as Gospels, but John actually never presents a Gospel as such, even though it is Gospel and good news. John is presenting a case and testimony, a trial with God and the world and Jesus at the center, all to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the sent one coming from God. So that's the context of which we're looking at the verses today. And what launches Jesus into this discourse about his credentials as the Son of God is what's going on with the Jews. He had really stirred something of a hornet's nest, especially at the healing at the pool on the Sabbath of the paralyzed man. And it's here where they're really coming after him. He's done two capital offenses here. He's broken the Sabbath, and he's calling upon God as his Father. So blasphemy and breaking the Sabbath. And then he begins to talk about his identity, that the Father bears witness to who he is. Mm. So that would just be some brief context or background.
Let's take a look at it. John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. Let's look at the first few verses here, about the first 35 or 5 verses. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. First sentence, I can do nothing on my own. Pastor, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, at the time there would have been, other men in the area. There was a fervor and a great excitement for the coming Messiah. And therefore, of course, there was many phonies and false Christs who came along. And it would have been common for these men to kind of have a crowd rallying around them, and they would teach. And it would really be about them or their own personal ideas. Here, Jesus is showing us that he is the real deal. He is something different. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. What he is saying here, more than anything, is that he is constantly in perfect communion and harmony and relationship with everything that the Father is and does and speaks. And I don't know if this is something we consider enough, because when we think about Jesus doing the works of the Father, namely we think about his passive suffering, his death and resurrection, and this is obviously the center of it all, but sometimes we may lose sight that Jesus is in constant communication with his Father. He's in a continual relationship where everything that he hears, he speaks. Everything the Father does, he does. So he's constantly acting out in perfect obedience, and his will is in perfect accord with his Father. He does not seek his own will, but the will of him who sent me. You could perhaps hear an echo of that in the Lord's Prayer, where he simply says, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we have this this business about witness and testimony. He says, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. And it's kind of a puzzling thing, because Jesus does testify himself that he is the Son of God. He does say that I and the Father are one. His testimony is true, but Jesus is appealing to really the common law among the Jews at this time, where if you were your own witness in your trial, your testimony was not valid at all. So Jesus is going to bring in, just as if it's a courtroom, it's almost as though he brings in all these witnesses to show beyond any doubt that he is indeed the Son of God. When he says there is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true, in this verse itself it doesn't say who he's talking about, but as we'll find out later, he's talking about his Father himself. How far did you go? 33?
We'll go up to 35. Well, let's take a look. So if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the Father, and you think of Jesus' baptism, where he comes out of the waters and the heavens are opened, the Spirit descends in the form of dove upon him, and even the Father speaks, this is my beloved Son, which is a testimony. It's certainly not a the baptism, that baptism account specifically is not in John's gospel, but there you do see a testimony of the Father bearing witness about the Son. And of course, the Father's testimony is to be trusted. Verse 33, you sent to John, and he is borne witness to the truth. So Jesus acknowledges that the Jews did send a little delegation or committee to John to ask about who he is. And I love what John says. They want to know who John is, and all he can really say is, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ. And he points to Jesus, and John the Baptist bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, when it comes to John the Baptist in John's Gospel, he's actually never referred to as John the Baptist. He's always just John. And you could say that John's role or John's work in this Gospel is primarily about him as witness. So it's not so much John the Baptizer, it's more so John the Witness. That would be his much more important work.
Not that the testimony that I received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light.
John's work is to point to Christ. John likens himself as the friend of the bridegroom, who rejoices at the bridegroom's voice when he comes. The bride, which is the church, is for the bridegroom, which is Jesus. And you know, you can read this, and perhaps even at the time in the Johannine community or in the early church, there was perhaps some confusion about who John was, perhaps even at the writing of this gospel around 80-90. It's the work of John the Baptist to point to Jesus, and you see it primarily, two times when Jesus comes to the Jordan, and John simply says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John's work is simply to point to Christ, to testify to him, to prepare the way. He is the something of the climax or summit of all the prophets. John says, he must increase and I must decrease. And John simply fades to the background, and there we see Jesus as the Lamb. So here, John the Baptist doesn't say he is the light, he says, the text says that he is a burning and shining lamp. You think of Psalm 19, word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And here we see John acting that out as he points to Christ. So John is not the light, Jesus is the light. And John points to our Lord Jesus.
Verse 36 and following, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. Let's pause there. Let's go back to verse 36. The testimony I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me.
Yeah, so as important as the testimony of John is, I'm talking about John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
It's not ultimately what matters. So Jesus is acknowledging here that John's witness and testimony to Jesus is very important. In fact, it's the most important thing John does in his ministry. But Jesus is not anchoring the true testimony of his identity. He's not fully banking upon John the Baptist because he doesn't have to, because he has the testimony of God himself. And he has the works themselves that he is doing that are bearing witness to who he is and why he has been sent to make atonement for sin, to rise from the dead, and to give to us eternal life. So the works that the Father has given him are bearing witness to who he is. So what are the works? Well, you know, John's gospel is a gospel of signs or miracles or proofs that he is indeed the Son of God. So the first sign that you have is the wedding at Cana. You have the healing of the centurion's son. You have the feeding of the 5,000. You have the raising of Lazarus, which is the final sign. And these are the works that show that Jesus is God himself, that he is the Messiah. These miracles show his identity, who he is. But of course, for the Jews, these they're even seeing these miracles, and they are refusing to believe because they are blind, and their faith is not awakened due to their stubborn hearts.
And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. The Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. What does he mean, that his voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen?
Yeah, this is puzzling. The main thing would be that in Jesus, the Father himself is revealed. So it's almost as though Jesus is talking about the faithless response to who he himself is. If Jesus is in perfect communion with the Father and speaks the Father's words and does the work of the Father and is sent by the Father, and in Jesus we see the Father's kind and loving heart, Jesus is speaking of the Jews who are rejecting him because they refuse to recognize who he himself is. So when he says that his voice you have never heard, his form you do not see, I believe he's speaking about their rejection of him as the Son of God, and therefore, because they reject Christ, they do not have his word abiding in them, because they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of the Father.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Michael Larson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. We're in John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the Daily New Testament reading right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Michael Larson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. Good morning, Pastor Larson.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me on your show today. It's a privilege to be with you.
It's good to have you with us today. Tell us about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin.
Well, St. Paul is a congregation of roughly 500 souls in the heart of north central Wisconsin. There's a nice little story about the founding of our town. It was founded, at the time it was Frontierland in the 1880s, and a man named Reverend Hommie, a graduate of Concordia Seminary in Springfield at the time, came here to Wittenberg, and there's this wonderful quote where he says, here and no further, just as Wittenberg is a bright shining star of the gospel in Germany, so shall this place become a bright shining star of the gospel in northern Wisconsin. And I just love that. And for us, it certainly is. We're still inspired by the great Reformation truths that we are saved by faith alone. And so we gather around the risen Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the divine service. We depart in peace with God. We go back to our homes and places of work, encouraged by His Holy Spirit to find new ways to love and care for one another as He has cared for us. So I would invite all visitors to come by. If they like, I know a lot of folks have cabins in northern Wisconsin, so right on Highway 45, so do consider us in your travel.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there delivering God's good gifts and gathering around His good gifts in the divine service. We are studying John chapter 5 today, verses 30 through 47. Anything you would like for us to know about the text before we dig in?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to get to the heart of John's goal in his gospel altogether. Yeah, I think it's in setting four of the hymnal where we sing together these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the discourse that we're looking at today, it's really the second half of a discourse of Jesus where he's talking about the testimony that bears witness to his identity as the very Son of God. And John's gospel is very different from the others. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke, what we call the synoptics, meaning that roughly if you put them side by side, you see a general correspondence between them in terms of the timeline and the narrative. John is altogether different. You could consider John as something of a lawyer, where he's presenting the key pieces of evidence that fit together in a sort of trial, all to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. So, you know, in the other Gospels, they speak of themselves in, as Gospels, but John actually never presents a Gospel as such, even though it is Gospel and good news. John is presenting a case and testimony, a trial with God and the world and Jesus at the center, all to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the sent one coming from God. So that's the context of which we're looking at the verses today. And what launches Jesus into this discourse about his credentials as the Son of God is what's going on with the Jews. He had really stirred something of a hornet's nest, especially at the healing at the pool on the Sabbath of the paralyzed man. And it's here where they're really coming after him. He's done two capital offenses here. He's broken the Sabbath, and he's calling upon God as his Father. So blasphemy and breaking the Sabbath. And then he begins to talk about his identity, that the Father bears witness to who he is. Mm. So that would just be some brief context or background.
Let's take a look at it. John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. Let's look at the first few verses here, about the first 5 verses. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. First sentence, I can do nothing on my own. Pastor, your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, at the time there would have been, you know, other men in the area. There was a fervor and a great excitement for the coming Messiah. And therefore, of course, there was many phonies and false Christs who came along. And it would have been common for these men to kind of have a crowd rallying around them, and they would teach. And it would really be about them or their own personal ideas. Here, Jesus is showing us that he is the real deal. He is something different. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. What he is saying here, more than anything, is that he is constantly in perfect communion and harmony and relationship with everything that the Father is and does and speaks. And I don't know if this is something we consider enough, because when we think about Jesus doing the works of the Father, namely we think about his passive suffering, his death and resurrection, and this is obviously the center of it all, but sometimes we may lose sight that Jesus is in constant communication with his Father. He's in a continual relationship where everything that he hears, he speaks. Everything the Father does, he does. So he's constantly acting out in perfect obedience, and his will is in perfect accord with his Father. He does not seek his own will, but the will of him who sent me. You could perhaps hear an echo of that in the Lord's Prayer, where he simply says, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we have this this business about witness and testimony. He says, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. And it's kind of a puzzling thing, because Jesus does testify himself that he is the Son of God. He does say that I and the Father are one. His testimony is true, but Jesus is appealing to really the common law among the Jews at this time, where if you were your own witness in your trial, your testimony was not valid at all. So Jesus is going to bring in, just as if it's a courtroom, it's almost as though he brings in all these witnesses to show beyond any doubt that he is indeed the Son of God. When he says there is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true, in this verse itself it doesn't say who he's talking about, but as we'll find out later, he's talking about his Father himself. How far did you go? 33?
We'll go up to 35. Let's take a look. So if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the Father. And, you know, you think of Jesus' baptism, where he comes out of the waters and the heavens are opened, the Spirit descends in the form of dove upon him, and even the Father speaks, this is my beloved Son, which is a testimony. It's certainly not The baptism, that baptism account specifically, is not in John's Gospel, but there you do see a testimony of the Father bearing witness about the Son. And of course, the Father's testimony is to be trusted. Verse 33, you sent to John, and he is borne witness to the truth. So Jesus acknowledges that the Jews did send a little delegation or committee to John to ask about who he is. And I love what John says. They want to know who John is, and all he can really say is, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ. And he points to Jesus, and John the Baptist bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, when it comes to John the Baptist in John's Gospel, he's actually never referred to as John the Baptist. He's always just John. And you could say that John's role or John's work in this Gospel is primarily about him as witness. So it's not so much John the Baptizer, it's more so John the Witness. That would be his much more important work.
Not that the testimony that I received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light.
John's work is to point to Christ. John likens himself as the friend of the bridegroom who rejoices at the bridegroom's voice when he comes. The bride, which is the church, is for the bridegroom, which is Jesus. And, you know, you can read this, and perhaps even at the time in the Johannine community or in the early church, there was perhaps some confusion about who John was, perhaps even at the writing of this gospel around 80-90. It's the work of John the Baptist to point to Jesus, and you see it primarily, two times when Jesus comes to the Jordan and John simply says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John's work is simply to point to Christ, to testify to him, to prepare the way. He is the something of the climax or summit of all the prophets. John says, he must increase and I must decrease. And John simply fades to the background, and there we see Jesus as the Lamb. So here, John the Baptist doesn't say he is the light. He says, the text says that he is a burning and shining lamp. You think of Psalm 19, word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And here we see John acting that out as he points to Christ. So John is not the light. Jesus is the light. And John points to our Lord Jesus.
Verse 36 and following, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. Let's pause there. Let's go back to verse 36. The testimony I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me.
Yeah, so as important as the testimony of John is, I'm talking about John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
It's not ultimately what matters. So Jesus is acknowledging here that John's witness and testimony to Jesus is very important. In fact, it's the most important thing John does in his ministry. But Jesus is not anchoring the true testimony of his identity. He's not fully banking upon John the Baptist because he doesn't have to, because he has the testimony of God himself, and he has the works themselves that he is doing that are bearing witness to who he is and why he has been sent to make atonement for sin, to rise from the dead, and to give to us eternal life. So the works that the Father has given him are bearing witness to who he is. So what are the works? Well, you know, John's gospel is a gospel of signs or miracles or proofs that he is indeed the Son of God. So the first sign that you have is the wedding at Cana. You have the healing of the centurion's son. You have the feeding of the 5,000. You have the raising of Lazarus, which is the final sign. And these are the works that show that Jesus is God himself, that he is the Messiah. These miracles show his identity, who he is. But of course, for the Jews, they're even seeing these miracles, and they are refusing to believe because they are blind, their faith is not awakened due to their stubborn hearts.
And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. The Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard. What does he mean, that his voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen?
Yeah, this is puzzling. The main thing would be that in Jesus, the Father himself is revealed. So it's almost as though Jesus is talking about the faithless response to who he himself is. If Jesus is in perfect communion with the Father and speaks the Father's words and does the work of the Father and is sent by the Father, and in Jesus we see the Father's kind and loving heart, Jesus is speaking of the Jews who are rejecting him because they refuse to recognize who he himself is. So when he says that his voice you have never heard, his form you do not see, I believe he's speaking about their rejection of him as the Son of God, and therefore, because they reject Christ, they do not have his word abiding in them, because they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of the Father.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Michael Larson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. We're in John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the daily New Testament reading right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.